This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, February 1st, 2017. Coming up this hour.
Apple shares rise following increased iPhone sales that boosted quarterly results.
Wall Street awaits the Fed's rate decision and clues as to how it will weigh President Trump's impact on the economy.
Hedge fund results are out for 2016. Find out who topped the list of best performers and which funds fell short.
President Trump has unveiled his pick to be on the Supreme Court.
By nominating Judge Neil Gorsuch.
I'm Michael Barr. More on Reaction straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another loss for the Knicks in Washington. Rangers lost 2, beaten by Columbus. Wins for the Islanders and Devils.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1200 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak, being brought to you by the ERP certification. Fuel your team's mastery of physical and financial energy markets with ERP certification, the only globally recognized designation for energy risk professionals. Learn more at garp.org/ERP.
5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning moving higher. S&P E-mini futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 40. NASDAQ futures up 25. DAX in Germany's up 1%. So is the FTSE 100. The CAC in Paris up 1.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.6%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.46%. The yield on the 2-year 1.21%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 14 cents to $52.95 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed, up 90 cents. That's less than 0.1% to $12.1230 an ounce. The euro, $1.0784. The yen, 113.41.
President Donald Trump has announced his nominee to fill the Supreme Court seat left vacant by the late Justice Antonin Scalia. Now, Bloomberg's Michael Barr joins us live with details. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, John. President Trump unveiled U.S. Circuit Appeals Court Judge Neil Gorsuch as his pick to be on the Supreme Court. Gorsuch accepted Trump's nomination.
As this process now moves to the Senate, I look forward to speaking with members from both sides of the aisle, to answering their questions and to hearing their concerns.
Gorsuch will meet with senators today, but it is setting up to be a battle between Republicans and Democrats. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is calling for the chamber to give Gorsuch fair consideration, but Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer says he has very serious doubts whether Gorsuch is in the mainstream. Karen?
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. Meanwhile, Federal Reserve officials conclude their two-day meeting and announce their rate decision today. Bloomberg's Michael McKee is covering the story from Washington.
The median of the Fed's December dot plot suggested as many as 3 rate moves in 2017. Fed officials, however, have already warned they're not on the kind of preset meeting-by-meeting schedule we saw from 2004 to 2006. Instead, expect them to signal they want more time to evaluate the economy and Trump's impact on it. Given the possibility of tax cuts, infrastructure spending, and trade wars, central bankers don't know if they'll have to speed up the pace of tightening or go back to cutting rates. They don't release new economic forecasts at this meeting, nor is there a news conference by Fed Chair Janet Yellen. So look for little more than a bland statement acknowledging the economy's progress that doesn't offer any timetable for action. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak, Washington.
Thanks, Michael. We'll bring you live coverage of the Fed's decision at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Apple announced quarterly results that beat analyst forecasts, reporting increases in iPhone sales and total revenue. And that is sending shares higher in the pre-market this morning, up 2.7%. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has more.
The quarter was fueled by demand for the company's latest and priciest iPhones. John Butler is an analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence.
They came in above, I think, is the bottom line on a lot of metrics during the quarter. The question is, where do we go from here? You know, they're a company that's in sort of that classic product transition where their core product is beginning to slow. They may have good quarters, they may not, but they really need something in there to pick up the slack. And we're not seeing that yet.
Apple said sales rose 3%. 3.3% to $78.4 billion with earnings of $3.36 a share. Analysts, according to Bloomberg, forecast profit of $3.22 a share on revenue of $77.3 billion. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg, Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. General Electric Chief Executive Jeffrey Immelt has spent his career riding the great wave of globalization. Now he's warning the time of unbridled trade is over. In a wide-ranging interview with Bloomberg Editor-in-Chief John Micklethwaite, Immelt weighed in on President Trump's executive order on immigration.
We have a lot of people that live outside the United States, and they're concerned. They're afraid of what's going on. So, you know, we speak out to say, gosh, we think we understand that safety is really important, but we also want to be able to work with the people that work for GE and allow them to still travel in and out of the United States.
GE CEO Jeffrey Immelt, who's a member of the President's Manufacturing Council, also says he doesn't think a border wall with Mexico is a good idea and placed a particular emphasis on the importance of strong ties between the United States and China.
Billionaire Ray Dalio's Bridgewater Associates earned nearly $5 billion for its clients last year, while several of its rivals faltered. Bloomberg's Andrew Day has the story.
According to a report from LCH Investments, Dalio's Bridgewater Associates was the most lucrative of the top 20 hedge funds it ranked, bringing in $4.9 billion for its clients. Meanwhile, funds run by George Soros and John Paulson posted worse results than their peers, losing a combined $4 billion last year. Overall, it was a disappointing year for the industry. The biggest hedge funds earned $16 billion after fees. That amounts to a 2.6% return. Ray Dalio was also weighing in on President Trump's first days in office. In a note to investors yesterday, he voiced concern that the effects of Trump's populist policies may overwhelm the benefits of his pro-business agenda. In November, Dalio had expressed a bullish view on the president's plans for economic stimulus. Andrew O'Day, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Andrew. And George Soros has hired a new chief investment officer to oversee his $25 billion family office. According to people familiar with the matter, Don Fitzpatrick from UBS Asset Management will replace Ted Burdick just 1 year after he stepped into the role. The 46-year-old Fitzpatrick was global head of equities, multi-asset investing, and the O'Connor Hedge Fund unit at UBS. She'll be the first woman to hold the CIO role at Soros Fund Management. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 507 on Wall Street. And that's time for news from around the world this morning. Once again, here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. President Trump's choice to be on the Supreme Court will meet with senators today. Last night, Trump unveiled his nominee, Neil Gorsuch.
Not only are we looking at the writings of the nominee, and I studied them closely, but he is said to be among the finest and most brilliant, oftentimes the writings of any judge for a long, long time.
A battle is likely ahead for President Trump's Supreme Court nominee. Some Democrats have vowed to mount a vigorous challenge to nearly any nominee to what they view as the court's stolen seat. Last year, Senate Republicans refused to consider President Barack Obama's pick, U.S. Circuit Court Judge Merrick Garland. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal, who is a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, also says he has concerns about Gorsuch's record.
He has been in favor of constraining certain rules that protect workers and consumers, as well as privacy rights that relate to women's health care.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he hopes senators respect the results of the recent election with an up or down vote on Trump's nomination, just like the Senate treated the four first-term nominees of Presidents Clinton and Obama. Protests continue across the country against President Trump's travel ban on seven Muslim-majority countries and his other immigration actions. Hundreds of students and community members gathered at Rutgers University in New Brunswick, New Jersey yesterday, and thousands of protesters gathered in downtown Minneapolis. In France, conservative presidential candidate François Fillon has been hit by another scandal. Bloomberg's Greg Viscusi has more from our Paris bureau.
Investigative newspaper Le Canard Enchaîné is reporting Wednesday that Fillon employed two of his children as parliamentary aides, adding to earlier revelations that he'd employed his wife. Police Tuesday carried out interrogations and searches as part of their probe into whether Madame Fillon actually did any work. Fillon says everything was legal, but there's increased talk that he could have to pull out. The question is whether the main beneficiary would be centrist Emmanuel Macron or nationalist Marine Le Pen. Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak, Paris.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Michael. Coming up at 5:10 on Wall Street, and now with a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, here's John Stashower.
John, there was a time when this Knicks season was looking promising. They went to Christmas 16-13. Since then, they are 5-16. Latest loss in Washington, 117-101. Wizards put six in double figures, led by Bradley Beal's 28 points. Carmelo Anthony scored 26 for New York, 17 of those in the first half. Knicks coach Jeff Hornacek felt his team just ran out of gas.
I don't know, maybe that four overtime game got us today. We just didn't look like we had any energy, even in the beginning of the game when we got the lead. It was, I think, probably because of their careless turnovers that kept us in the game early. So, it was a tough night.
There have been a lot of those lately. Also a tough one for the Rangers, who've now lost five of their last six home games. Although not as embarrassing as it was looking, Columbus led 6-0 early third period. Henrik Lundqvist sent to the bench. Rangers then scored four straight, still lost 6-4. Islanders coaching change seems to have worked magic. Now 6-0-1 in their last seven. Beat a good team in Washington 3-2. Devils got a pair of goals from Kyle Palmieri and won 4-3 at Detroit. College hoops, Rutgers lost to Iowa, dropped to 1-9 in the Big Ten. Dayton beat Fordham Fairfield over Manhattan. The Oakland Raiders' planned move to Las Vegas could be crumbling. NFL owners are supposed to vote on it next month. But first, Vegas billionaire Sheldon Adelson, who was to put up $650 million, pulled out of the deal. And now Goldman Sachs is out, too, with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. And in other sports news, a football helmet maker now the target of new concussion litigation. Professional and amateur athletes are accusing the helmet maker Riddell of not delivering on its promises of protection from injury. Sporting goods companies have had success in defending football helmet design defect claims before, but sports lawyers tell Bloomberg BNA that this new litigation, which includes misrepresentation claims, could prove troublesome to the industry. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now 4 points higher. That's up 0.2. The Dow E-mini futures up 42. The Nasdaq futures are up 25 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby. Since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 31st Street.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit Sector, SPDRS.com, or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. It's a new month on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.5% in January. The S&P 500 gained 1.8%, and the NASDAQ advanced 4.3%. Futures this morning are higher ahead of a Federal Reserve interest rate decision. That's at a 2 p.m. Wall Street time. S&P futures are up 6 points, Dow futures up 47, NASDAQ futures up 26, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany's up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.47%. 9X crude oil up 0.3% or 15 cents to $52.96 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 60 cents to $12.12 an ounce. The euro, $1.0783, the yen, 113.41. We're also watching for a report on private payrolls from the ADP Research Institute out at 8:15 Wall Street time. At 10, it's a look at manufacturing and construction spending, and the automakers report their U.S. sales figures today. Almost 30 companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings. They include Facebook. In Asia today, stocks finished the session mostly higher ahead of that Federal Reserve meeting. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
The regional index was somewhat weighed down by losses in Hong Kong. That market playing catch-up to the recent global sell-off after resuming trade for the first time since Friday following the Lunar New Year holiday. Japan's TOPIX gained as the yen weakened. It rose 0.4% after earlier being as low as almost 1%. Mitsubishi Motors, the top performer on the Nikkei 225, this after flagging a return to operating profit later this year. In economic data, China's official factory gauge showed some stabilization in January, both PMI and non-manufacturing PMI remaining above the 50-point level separating expansion from contraction. However, markets in China, along with those in Vietnam, Malaysia and Taiwan, remained closed. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Senate Republicans are uniting behind President Donald Trump's nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. Trump announced his choice of Gorsuch during a primetime address from the White House, saying Gorsuch, who is 49, has outstanding legal skills. Meanwhile, Democrats are signaling they will challenge Gorsuch's nomination. President Trump's nomination of Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State is headed toward Senate confirmation after several Democrats crossed party lines to back the former ExxonMobil CEO. They're scheduled to vote today. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Wizards 117-101. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Capitals 3-2. The Devils won, the Rangers lost, the Bruins were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Michael. Coming up on 521 on Wall Street, let's bring in our first guest this morning, Alexander Dryden, global market strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management, joining us this morning from London on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Alexander, good to talk to you. Since it's early, let me throw you a softball this morning for the first question. With the news flow, the Twitter feeds, can you be a passive investor these days?
It's becoming increasingly difficult in this diverging market to be in that sort of passive setup, which has worked for quite a few years as a sort of rising tide has lifted all boats. But we're starting to get to the late stage of the economic cycle. Politics continues to be the wild card, and having that sort of active footing can often be a benefit in these turbulent times.
With the late stage economic cycle, we're looking at reflation in many parts of the world. As far as the challenges meeting central banks, we have the Fed meeting today. What is the expectation?
We're expecting no change out of the Federal Reserve after they raised rates in December. But what we will be looking for is a hint about where they see rates going in 2017. Our base case at the moment is that they will keep rates on hold for some time as they wait for some clarity from fiscal policy, because fiscal and monetary go hand in hand. And right now there has been painfully little detail about what fiscal policy in the U.S. will look like. We had very little mention of it in Trump's speech. There has been very little talk of tax cuts. I think they will be holding monetary policy unchanged until they get some clarity from that.
Well, is tighter policy a foregone conclusion?
I think the pathway for the Fed funds rate is higher from here. However, it's that debate over how quickly it tightens. There is a big range of expectations in the marketplace, some people calling for as high as 5 or 6 interest rate hikes in the next 12 months to as low as maybe only 1 or 2. We sit in the 2 to 3 camp. We think that the U.S. economy is going in the right direction. Inflation is beginning to creep up. It hit 2.1% in December, a little bit above the Fed's 2% inflation target. We're also seeing a tight labor market in the U.S. So that 2 to 3 interest rate hike still looks acceptable at the start of 2017.
A rising rate of inflation, that also begs the question about Europe and the U.K.
Yes, and we've seen inflation rebounding over on this side of the Atlantic as well. There's been some concerns, particularly in the UK, that inflation creeping up may see the Bank of England start tightening monetary policy in response. The markets right now are priced 50-50 on whether or not there'll be one interest rate hike out of the Bank of England this year. Our view is that they're going to stay on hold. The reason being is there's a significant amount of Brexit uncertainty still floating around, and some concerning signs in the consumer for the UK, which is an important driver of economic growth.
Does that spell opportunity in Europe, especially for financials?
Yeah, there is some opportunity within Europe, but the challenge is looking past the political volatility. We've got a very busy political calendar in Europe this year. Elections in Germany, France, the Netherlands, we might even be adding Italy to that list soon. A lot of big economies whose voters are going to the polls. That is some cause for concern. But if you can look past that political mist, you can actually see signs of an economy beginning to improve. Growth for 2016 was confirmed at 2%, actually faster than the U.S. economy last year, and there is a lot more room to run. Unemployment is still floating at close to double digits, but it's trying to get investors to look past the political volatility that is the challenge.
Alexander, thanks a lot. Alexander Dryden, global market strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management, joining us this morning from London on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Ahead of the market open here in the U.S., S&P futures up 4, the Dow futures 47 points higher. The NASDAQ E-mini futures right now up 26 points. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by The Breakers Palm Beach, Florida's most iconic beachfront resort paradise. The Breakers Palm Beach just made your favorite winter escape harder to resist. Visit thebreakers.com or 1-800-BREAKERS.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by SEI. Recognized as a fintech pioneer, SEI continues its legacy of innovation by helping asset managers to compete in a changing world. Explore SEI's next-gen ideas at seic.com/IMS.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Ray Dalio's Bridgewater Associates earned almost $5 billion for its clients last year, while rivals George Soros and John Paulson lost money. According to a report by LCH Investments, Bridgewater was the most lucrative of the top 20 hedge funds and bucked the trend of a generally disappointing year for the industry.
And Siemens has raised its full-year outlook. The industrial giant posted better-than-expected quarterly profit because of renewable energy projects and digital services. Siemens today also introduced its new chairman, Jim Haganabe, a veteran of software company SAP. The shares of Siemens are currently up 4.7% in Frankfurt.
Apple attracted new iPhone fans over the holidays. The result, Apple's quarterly sales and profit beat analyst estimates. The company sold 3.5 million more phones in the quarter than it did a year before. That indicates growth was driven by new customers, and shares of Apple are up about 3% in early trading.
Facebook is scheduled to release quarterly results after the close of U.S. trading today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger brings us a preview.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the social network's ad load forecast and sales growth at Instagram will likely be the most important components of Facebook's fourth quarter report. Ad loads may make a smaller contribution to the company's growth starting around mid-year, forcing Facebook to rely more on price hikes, engagement, and user growth to drive sales. Forecasts are for Facebook to post an adjusted profit of $1.31 a share on revenue of $8.5 billion. And talk about bullish. Facebook gets 47 buy ratings, 4 hold ratings, and 2 sell ratings. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. We'll get results from a total of 55 companies in the S&P 500 today, including Altria, Costco, MetLife, and Anthem. Also on today's schedule, sales results from automakers.
And Amazon is building a new air hub near Cincinnati to support a growing fleet of planes that can move inventory around the U.S. The company will invest $1.5 billion to build the facility on 900 acres at Cincinnati Northern Kentucky International Airport. And futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures up 6 points. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. President Trump unveiled his nominee to be on the Supreme Court, U.S. Appeals Court Judge Neil Gorsuch.
The qualifications of Judge Gorsuch are beyond dispute. He is the man of our country and a man who our country really needs and needs badly to ensure the rule of law and the rule of justice.
Gorsuch also spoke during last night's primetime announcement.
I pledge that if I am confirmed, I will do all my powers permit to be a faithful servant of the Constitution and laws of this great country.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says President Trump has made an outstanding decision in nominating Gorsuch. However, Senate Democratic Leader Charles Schumer says Gorsuch has repeatedly sided with corporations over working people and has demonstrated a hostility toward women's rights. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal is on the Senate Judiciary Committee.
If I find he's out of the mainstream, I'll use every legal tool available to block his nomination. And there is pretty good certainty that a 60-vote threshold will be required.
Gorsuch will travel to Capitol Hill today to begin meetings with lawmakers. Democrats have used an obscure Senate rule to delay a committee vote on Attorney General nominee Jeff Sessions. Democrats question whether the Alabama Republican could be independent of President Trump as the nation's chief law enforcement officer. There are now four states that are suing the Trump administration over the executive order on immigration meant to thwart terror attacks. Washington State, Massachusetts, New York, and now Virginia are taking legal action. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe expressed his support for the lawsuit.
I have been notified by scores of companies who are now worried about their employees, whether they can get back into the United States of America, or should they travel abroad to do business, fearful that their employees cannot come back. This is not the United States of America that we know.
Former U.N. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon reportedly won't be running for South Korea's presidency. South Korea's Yonhap News Agency says Ban made the announcement during a surprise news conference today. Ban said he was disappointed by the actions of the country's political establishment. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street. And that is time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, somebody has to win the Battle of New York tonight. The Nets are an NBA worst 9-39, 17 losses in their last 18 games. Haven't won at home since the day after Christmas. The Knicks aren't that bad, but another loss last night. In Washington, 117-101. They've now dropped 16 of their last 21. Wizards playing well. Five straight wins, 9 of 10, 12 of 14. 15 in a row at home. Bradley Beal led them with 28 points. Carmelo Anthony had 26. Brandon Jennings, 21. Derrick Rose was out with an injured ankle. And Kristaps Porzingis was ill and a late scratch. Knicks and Nets tonight in Brooklyn, where last night, as the Knicks were losing to Washington, the Islanders beat Washington, who came in having won 13 of 15. Isles won 3-2. Thomas Greiss, celebrating his new contract extension, allowed only one goal until the final minute. Isles 6-0-1 in their last seven. Rangers 1-5 in six 2017 games at the Garden. They lost to Columbus 6-4. At one point, it was 6-0 Blue Jackets. Rangers goalie Henrik Lundqvist.
I know I need to be better. That third goal is just killer. As a group, we responded really well in the third. That's the way the intensity and energy we had is something we, when we do have it, we're a good team. But it starts with me, and that, especially that third goal is something that bothers me, but back to work tomorrow. Get better.
Devils in Detroit went up 2-0. 5 minutes in, New Jersey won 4-3. College hoops, Rutgers lost by 20 to Iowa. Manhattan lost by 29 at Fairfield. Fordham fell to Dayton. Kentucky needed overtime to get by Georgia. Freshman Malik Monk with 37 points. The game was the last behind the mic for 77-year-old Brent Musburger retiring from calling games. Today is big in college football, National Signing Day. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Curry. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, John. Elliott Management has called for the ouster of Klaus Kleinfeld as CEO of Arconic. The move sets the stage for a battle over control of the aluminum parts maker that split from Alcoa last year. Elliott says Larry Lawson, former CEO of Spirit AeroSystems, should be considered as a replacement and announced five nominees to Arconic's board. Lockheed Martin will challenge a New Jersey jury's verdict, claiming it should pay $51.5 million to an ex-employee who says he was laid off because of his age. Experts tell Bloomberg BNA the size of the award serves as a warning to all employers who are thinking about workforce reductions. New York City and the union representing about 24,000 patrol officers have reached a tentative $1.9 billion five-year agreement. The deal with the Patrolman Benevolent Association provides back pay and raises and ends a five-year period in which officers worked without a contract. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
Thanks, Ed. Tax policies proposed by President Donald Trump are forcing the world's biggest buyout firm to reevaluate what companies are worth. In an exclusive interview with Bloomberg, Blackstone Global Head of Private Equity, Joe Barata, says the possibility of border taxes or import taxes is affecting the firm's decision-making.
We've done a lot of thinking, and it's beginning to creep into our investment decision-making at the investment committee. Businesses that stand to benefit are those, obviously, that are export-led, that are capital-intensive in some way.
In our interview, Barata also expressed concern over Trump's executive order on immigration.
We're vigilant on this to see how this will affect not only Blackstone, but our portfolio companies.
Well, Blackstone has closer ties to the Trump administration than other alternative asset managers. In December, CEO Steve Schwarzman was named as chairman of the president's Strategic and Policy Forum. And in November, Blackstone real estate head John Gray met with Trump to discuss the post of Treasury Secretary, which he ultimately declined. And now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all around the world this morning.
I'm Steve Potosk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, I'm talking about Disney paying $100 million to settle a no-poaching lawsuit.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WGY in Albany, I'm reporting two casino openings this month will mean millions more dollars for state programs to treat problem gamblers.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio London. We're following the upcoming vote in the UK Parliament on whether or not and how to trigger Brexit.
I'm Adrian Mitchell, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting on a deal between Columbia's Avianca and United Continental.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. I'm reporting how Amazon is building a new air hub in Kentucky, bringing 2,000 jobs to the area.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Tesla has fallen short of a top safety pick award given to 42 other cars.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit mynycb.com for details.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. A new month on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.5% in January. The S&P 500 gained 1.8%. The NASDAQ rose 4.3%. Futures this morning are higher ahead of a Federal Reserve interest rate decision out at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. At 8:15 a.m., ADP releases its monthly employment report on hiring at private employers. Economists forecast a gain of 168,000 jobs for January. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice has more.
The ADP report is based on data from private employers with almost 24 million workers on their combined payrolls. In December, the report registered a gain of 153,000 below last year's monthly average as manufacturing and construction shed jobs. On Friday, the Labor Department will issue its monthly employment report. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
At 10, we get a look at manufacturing and construction spending, and automakers report their U.S. sales figures today. Again, futures higher. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 40. NASDAQ futures up 24. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.47%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 11 cents to $52.92 a barrel. And COMEX gold little changed at 12.1230 an ounce. That's up 90 cents. The euro, $1.0788. The yen, 113.38. And almost 30 companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. They include Facebook. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump has nominated Judge Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. Senate Republicans are already lining up behind the selection, while several Democrats are openly questioning whether Gorsuch falls within the legal mainstream. If confirmed by the Senate, Gorsuch would fill the seat left vacant by the death last year of Antonin Scalia. Two luxury electric vehicles have fallen short of getting the highest safety rating in new crash tests by the insurance industry. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety tested 2017 models of the Tesla Model S and the BMW i3. Neither earned the Institute's top safety pick award. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Wizards. In the NHL, the Islanders beat the Capitals. The Devils won, the Rangers lost. The Bruins were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Karen?
Thanks, Michael. Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And the Law Brief is brought to you by the American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Today, Bloomberg Law host June Grosso speaks with Bloomberg Intelligence senior litigation analyst Jennifer Ree about why Mylan is facing an antitrust investigation over the pricing of its EpiPen.
Jen, so the company's admitted that it received a request for information from the FTC. What do we know about its investigation?
Well, you know, right now we really know very little, and that makes sense because these FTC investigations are confidential. And in fact, if the company hadn't admitted it, we might not know unless there was otherwise a leak. But, you know, Bloomberg News reported on this, and they said they had talked to some sources that were close to the matter that suspect this has to do with them looking at whether they engaged in tactics. This is probably a few years ago, to keep generic competition off the market so that they would, you know, continue with their brand monopoly on this drug and be able to do what they've done, which is raise the prices. And it could be related to a settlement they entered with Teva in 2012. At that time, Teva was trying to enter the market with a generic version of Mylan's branded EpiPen. And Mylan sued them for infringement. This is before they entered the market. The Hatch-Waxman Act allows companies to do that. And they settled the case. It started trial, but in the middle of trial, the case settled. And there was an agreement that Teva wouldn't enter with its generic product until sometime closer to when the patent was actually going to expire. And sometimes what happens in those kinds of settlements is that the brand company will actually pay the generic company to agree to keep their drug off the market. So in a way, it can be seen as splitting the monopoly profits that we're going to get if you stay off.
Now, what about what Mylan has been doing with patenting advances in the last 8 years to the EpiPen, like a non-removable needle? Does that affect the expiration of the original patent? Is that anti-competitive?
Well, not necessarily. And oftentimes, this is what the companies will say. Like, we've improved our product and we have new patents on this product improvement. All of these changes actually usually are covered by new patents that then get listed in the Orange Book. And what happens is that the generic that's been chasing the older patented product is now kind of left out in the cold because this newer product might be what the doctors are turning to or what Mylan might be marketing. But the question is it really a product improvement or is it just a way to maintain the monopoly? The FTC might call this product hopping. If just slight changes are made that aren't really improving the product but are meant to keep that generic off the market.
That's Bloomberg Intelligence senior litigation analyst Jennifer Ree speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grosso. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
Bloomberg Intelligence, valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
The Federal Reserve officials conclude their two-day meeting and announce their rate decision today. Right now, we're joined on the Bloomberg Spectrum phone line, the Spectrum Enterprise phone line, by Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg Intelligence. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Carl's in his Spectrum Enterprise jammies this morning. Let me ask you, Carl, policymakers, are they prepared to take the next step toward interest rate normalization?
Well, it's a robe, but it's more like a boxing robe than jammies, as you mentioned, John. That's my FOMC day boxing robe. The Fed is eager to continue progressing towards a more normalized policy stance. However, they are not going to risk acting preemptively and possibly making a mistake. They've said all along that they want to keep the Fed funds lower than what would otherwise be warranted as they move along this path, and that's very much the case today. The situation at the January-February meeting is very similar to that of the December meeting when the Fed had tremendous uncertainty about the fiscal outlook, what Trumponomics is going to actually look like and how much will actually make it through Congress, and then what the impact will be on the medium-term economic outlook. With those clouds still very heavy over Fed policymakers' outlook, they are going to hold off for a while longer for them at that next rate move. While it's boring to have the same view as the market, my team does expect the next Fed rate increase to come at the June FOMC meeting.
Is fiscal policy that cloudy?
It is that cloudy. Ordinarily, it wouldn't be such a big moving factor. But if we're talking about a substantial infrastructure spending plan, which could have a price tag in the vicinity of $1 trillion, we're talking about an impact on GDP on an annual basis that could be a quarter of a percentage point to as much as a half of a percentage point. On top of that, we have potential big revisions to the tax code, both corporate and household income taxes, and that will have tremendous implications for especially consumer spending, which has been the workhorse of the economy over the last 6 to 8 quarters.
Hey, Carl, remember all those assets the Federal Reserve put on its balance sheet? What happened to those?
Well, they're still sitting there, and they're getting reinvested whenever they mature. The Fed, given the fact that they're not going to be really pushing the agenda for a rate hike, this gives them a little bit of time to step back and look at bigger picture issues while they wait for the details of fiscal policy. And one of the most pressing big picture issues will be unwinding the balance sheet or reverse quantitative easing. They have a general framework of how they want the exit to look, but they don't know the exact details in terms of the timing and how much they'll be willing to let run off, and if they want it to be a smooth runoff or just letting whatever's maturing run off. Certainly, I don't think there's much appetite for outright sales of securities on the balance sheet. That would be a pretty aggressive move. So, given that there's not a lot of urgent business at the current meeting, they can start formalizing the framework of what that will look like. Again, I don't think they'll pull the trigger on reverse QE until we get to about 2% on the Fed funds rate. That means late next year or early 2019.
Carl Riccadonna, Chief U.S. Economist with Bloomberg Intelligence, providing unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Terminal customers, you can access this function at BIGO. This is Bloomberg. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures up 4, the Dow futures up 41.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
The Teamsters Union wants President Trump to eliminate a NAFTA provision that allows long-haul Mexican trucks to operate in the U.S. Union officials say Mr. Trump seems open to the idea. The new Republican chairman of the FCC has declined to say whether the agency will enforce the net neutrality rule. The measure is opposed by internet service providers. U.S. farmers are concerned about retaliation for trade tariffs threatened by President Trump. He has mentioned levies as much as 45% on Chinese imports and 20% on Mexican goods.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.